right. Thank you very much, Eric. I don't know if I heard that right, but did Demetrius Ivory actually use the word 10 to describe degrees? Is that what he just said?
I got to be honest. I was doing about four different things.
Don't tell me you weren't listening.
I'll hear you weren't listening.
Just go with the yes.
Okay, yes. Yeah,
I would have brought it up if it weren't true.
Yes,
he said the word 10. 10. 10 degrees.
Yeah, that's
you know what that is?
January.
That's 9 degrees warmer than one.
It's not good.
That's not an early November temperature.
That's the late January, February temperatures.
All right. Who do I see about this?
I'd say Tom Skilling. I'd start there.
I might as well go to the top.
Yeah, I mean, the top of the weather world, you'd have to contact Skilling.
Mm-hmm.
He can do special things.
So
remember that tarp you wanted to put over the lake and stuff mm-hmm. like that?
I had a lot of plans.
It's bear weather, Ro. It's back. Maybe this will help him.
Okay. Matt Forte is joining us, one of my favorite Chicago Bears of all times. He, of course, now also is a member of the Team for Football After Show on NBC Sports Chicago. And he's the host of True versus Truth podcast. Matt, thanks very much for being with us. Appreciate it. Before we get into all the other mechanics here, I got to say that we're halfway through the season in terms of games played, right? And a lot of us had predictions that the Bears were going to have a winning football season. As a matter of fact, Luke Kanellis, are you familiar with Luke Kanellis, you know, over at Fox, Matt? Are you familiar with him?
Yeah,
he said they were going to go 11-5. And I don't think that's going to happen. But is there, in your thought, is there any way to turn this thing around?
Well, 11-5 hope is definitely not going to happen. So thanks a lot, Lou, for predicting that. You know, I think that's why they, you know, have, you know, kind of gone down. It's because you can't put all these predictions on us before the season. You just got to watch and wait to see what happens. That way you won't be so let down. But there is one shining glimmer of hope, and it starts at the running back position. I feel like David Montgomery can be, and if they give him the ball, feed him the ball enough, he can give us some hope in this season, even though it's not looking like it will continue to improve. Because if you notice the last game, the last two games, he's the only guy who's been kind of out there making plays on the offensive side, besides Allen Robinson. And if we can run the ball effectively and I'm not talking like the spread offense and running it out of the gun, out of these cute formations and all this, I think if we do that and play some power football and do some play action, move the pocket, it'll take the burden off of Mitch. They're trying to make Mitch into something that he's not, and that's the problem. So if they can make it easy for him, it would help him out. That's the only glimmer of hope.
Right. Easier, right? Because, I mean, none of this is easy, but the idea that and everybody seems to be saying the same thing, is, you know, roll him out, get the pressure off of him, let him use his athleticism. He also seems to be one of those guys who is more accurate when he's on the move. I know it's counterintuitive, but that seems to be the case. So why not play to that strength? I think you're 100% right. They're trying to make him a pocket passer because that's what successful, you know, the most successful quarterbacks in the NFL are. But that's just not working out.
That's not him. That's not him. And that's never been him. He wasn't even that in college. And so, you know, I don't know why they expected him to grow into that or that they could change that, you know, in the last couple of years.
I want to ask you a totally separate question here for a second. So the True versus Truth podcast you do with your wife, Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
So who is True and who's Truth?
Now we're both Truth. You know, the name of it originated from just this sense of the culture right now. Like everybody kind of makes up their own truth and what's true to them and what they live by. And this relativism type of stuff where, you know, if it fits my lifestyle and I believe it to be true because it's what I like to do, then it becomes true. And so we take a biblical lens and, you know, kind of filter that, so to speak, and see what God says about it. So that's where the whole True versus Truth name comes along.
Got it. I want to ask you, in your household, though, when you're at home and it's you and your wife, who is true and who's truth? I've always found in my life that the woman is always truth and the guy is trying to be true. It's true, but no, this is the truth. Who lays down the law?
No, I will. When you're married, you know that your wife is always right.
Yes,
you know,
most that's of the point I'm trying to make.
Happy wife.
For the sake of argument, the wife is always right. But that doesn't mean it's the truth.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
Uh-oh.
So what kinds of topics do you talk about? I mean, what is...
Everything.
Is it sports as well?
Yeah, I mean, like different difficulties that a lot of people don't know that you may face in sports. I got a lot of teammates or former teammates that, you know, have retired, and there's a lot of bad statistics that go on with retired, especially retired professional athletes, but specifically football. You know, 80% divorce, 80% broke, like all these bad statistics. And, you know, a lot of guys will, you know, retire and they don't know what to do exactly afterwards. They go into depression and different things. And you never know it unless, you know, they said something to you. So you want to shine a light on some of these dark areas and that, you know, a lot of people kind of sweep under the rug and that they don't really talk about. But like in our last podcast that we launched last Thursday, one of the guys who's a chaplain for the Bengals, he said you have to reveal it to heal it. And a lot of times we like to conceal these type of things and think that they'll just go away, but it ends up being worse if we don't.
You think the NFL does enough, Matt, to help players following their playing career?
Absolutely not. I say that because there are a lot of things that they offer, and they, you know, they sound good, and but the follow-up process, which, you know, these are grown men. You're not going to walk everybody by the hand and, like, do these type of things. But once you retire, it's kind of like, you know, you don't exist anymore to them because you're not actually benefiting the game in some sort of way, you know, to them. So there could be, you know, some improvements on that. I won't say that it's absolutely terrible. It's a lot better than it has been in past years. But there there can be a lot of things implemented to help guys who are struggling on the outside that, you know, and I think that might be a reason why a lot of guys, you know, don't want to say anything. They may be embarrassed about it, or they just don't know where to find the help at.
Is the Players Association program getting better for guys too?
Yeah, I believe so. It's getting better. It's not all the way there, obviously. Everybody has improvement to grow and to improve on. But the Players Association, I mean, they're geared towards the players, obviously, and they do have a lot of different things and continuing education programs.
Sure. And also health, right? Know. That is such I mean, obviously you were a skills player, you're a running back. When you got the ball, you got hit, right? And guys who took the kind of, and everybody does, but skills guys, you know, they got to be looking at you guys, also linemen too. I mean, basically everybody in the game. Maybe not the kicker, has to be, you know, there's a lot of concern about making sure that your cerebral health and that your mental health and all of those things, you know, is stabilized, because that seems to be the first and perhaps most difficult and dynamic problem that exists for retiring football players.
Yeah, a lot of times when you get to professional sports, especially in football, and you get retired guys, they're kind of in uncharted territory right there. So it becomes uncomfortable for them, and they don't know what to expect. But then also with, you know, the concussion stuff and the CTE studies and things like that, you want to take a lot of caution on, you know, health. And, you know, you got a lot of time, you retire in your 30s if you play a long career and you're blessed enough to do that. That's not very old. You got a long life ahead of you. So you want to be healthy. And you don't want some of the residual effects from football to, you know, lend to, you know, more surgeries and other type of, you know, health impairments.
Guys are getting out earlier than ever now, right? I mean, there's a lot of players who are like, listen, I made my money, probably not going to make this kind of money again, and my health and my welfare is more important.
Yeah, I've seen that too. You know, there's been guys who maybe 28, they played 8 years or something, or they played 7, and they call it quits with the game. I mean, look at Andrew Luck this past year. The injuries took a toll on him, not only physically, but just mentally. He was just exhausted from the game. And that happens a lot. You see that a lot when guys get just burnt out on football. And that's part of the reason why after football is over, it's very hard on guys to assimilate and go into normal life, because football engulfs everything. And outside of it, they haven't really worked on any other skills, you know, to get, you know, to do something else besides that. But, and the tough part is that you have a lifetime ahead of you to do some of these things. But that's why it's important to have your identity and know who you are and move on from there.
All right.
Are we going to ask him about the changing tables? We started an argument about that earlier,
Ralph. We don't have to. We don't have to get into this.
No, I mean he's mad at you, actually, Matt, that you're starting this whole changing tables in the men's bathrooms thing.
You know, I know that they are important. I always wanted to deny they were there so that my wife would handle it. But that was the way that I was looking.
You're trying to take the easy way out.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
it's 2019. You got to change some diapers.
Yeah, well, luckily, I don't.
You don't have any diapers to change yet until yours are.
Except mine, yeah. That's the only thing. All right. And that, if you want.
Eventually, you have to change the diaper, right? Whether it's yours
true.
Or.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. And then, hopefully that there is, you know, there's somebody else changing your diaper, and then it's too late for everything. All right. what's your fortefoundation.org, by the way, where you can find out all the information about that stuff? That's a really cool name. What's your Forte Foundation? And Matt Forte, you can see him on NBC Sports Chicago Football After Show. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's check in now. Lauren Lapka tells us what's happening on the roadways.